Well, we are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. It is Baltimore Positive. And you know what I'm doing for the holidays here, besides giving away Raven Scratch Off 6 times, because we're doing 6 Maryland Crab Cake tours of all sorts of ways. We're starting to fade these at Lexington Market. We're going to be over at Costas with Gina Shock, Rock and Roll Hall of Famer. We're going to be with Dan Roderick then at the BMA at Gertrude's eating vegan crab cakes. And I'm even going to be at Planet Fitness in Timonium on the 21st. But we're giving away Raven Scratch Offs, also giving away these fantastic candy canes. Scratch offs that make me smell like Santa Claus at the mall. But I'm having the best guests that I can have on. And I'm really measured about guests and stuff like that. I try to get most of my recurring characters on 3 or 4 times a year, especially if they're football or baseball related. I try to place it. A lot of great stuff this week around the baseball winter meetings and a lot of stuff around Pittsburgh and Baltimore. And anytime Luke Jones wants to bark about something analytical or statistical, and I'm trying to get him into AI so I can make my analytics nerd smarter. But Luke says, Aaron Schatz said blank. And I'm like, all right, I'm going to write down Aaron. I'm going to text Aaron, have him on the show. So Aaron Schatz is here. He is the architect of all things DVOA. I think of him as the modern scientist of football. My AI bot thinks I think a lot of highly things of Aaron Schatz as well. How are you? I don't know why I haven't bothered you more this year. I always wait for the Ravens to get on the ropes or into a space where you can judge them. Certainly when Lamar's injured, calling you doesn't really do much for anybody. But we're now back. We're into the meat and the guts of all of this, and you have real measurements on all of these teams over a dozen weeks. What a weird year for the Ravens. You're not here praising their incredible, greatest show in all time things like
Yeah.
you've been here. This has been a weird mashup of a year, I think statistically for you, probably too, right?
It's been a weird year. It's funny because it's not as much that there are no great teams, but more like there's very few middle of the road teams. And a lot of the good teams have played each other and the bad teams have played each other. And of the few middle of the road teams, two of them are the ones we're talking about in the AFC North, which is the Ravens and the Pittsburgh Steelers. And so the Ravens have been much worse than they had been the previous 2 years, and some of that is Lamar Jackson being hurt. But there's like two categories of Lamar Jackson being hurt. There's games he missed, and now there's he's clearly hurt, but he's playing anyway, so he's not playing up to his usual abilities. But they're also down on defense. Obviously, earlier in the year, especially, they were down on defense, and the offensive line is not playing as well. And it's very difficult to figure out.
In your science, and by the way, Aaron is, I mean, you can find Aaron on the internet. You can subscribe. We're going to go through all that holidays. I want to make sure that Aaron's getting paid because nobody's doing better money. And I would think at some point teams have offered you money or offered you a job. It's sort of the Mel Kiper kind of way of being an analyst, and you've remained analytical into all of this stuff. As we go into this, I don't know the weight that can be put on line play because it's so weird and it's so individual. It's giving up sacks and pancake blocks and all, and the back of the football cards in the 70s never had stats for George Kuntz, although my dad would tell you he's a Hall of Famer. He's a Hall of Fame hamburger maker in Vegas. He's told me that as well, told me that at the Colts reunion. But I think about Hall of Fame voting and measuring and what offensive line means and what defensive line means, and everything's a sack, a sack, a sack, or setting the edge, or how many tackles you make, or whatever those measurements would be that would put John Randall into the Hall of Fame and not somebody else. I don't know, but this year has changed me a little bit. You're the stat nerds, you're the science guys. Luke's very much in your lane of all of that. And I think in other sports and other ways, it breaks down differently. But I'm just going to say this about this football team after watching 30 years of Ravens football here and trying to opine about it professionally. When your line stinks, it affects literally every other aspect of everything else that ever happens that would affect every judgment about any offense or any defense. And when I look at the Ravens this year, and I think we really overestimated, they overestimated how these lines were going to play, and then the Matabike injury on the other side. But they get lost in the trenches most weeks, even the weeks when they're winning 5 games in a row. They were getting pushed around by the Jets at various points in the game. And then there's mistakes and turnovers and things that move games and special teams and like all that. But just line play, can you speak to your science of trying to evaluate this? Because I'm wondering out loud, because when I think of the Ravens' deficiencies this year, I'm thinking Kevin Zeitler at the trade deadline might have helped you as much as Draymond Jones did, or as much as Aloe Gil. I mean, better players make a big difference for skill position players.
Yeah, like offensive line is very important and also difficult to measure, right? But we're better now than we used to be. We have all the next gen stats tracking from the NFL. So we have tracking of pressures allowed, and we have like ESPN's pass block win rate, which measures how often the linemen keep their blocks for 2.5 seconds. And the Ravens rank 23rd. So
As a
it's
line, as a unit, not
as a unit.
individually, right? Okay.
Yeah, I think Stanley has not been as good this year. I think they've not been as good at the guard positions this year, and it's definitely an issue. The
And it's affected the center, as we pointed out many times,
run
right?
blocking is okay. Run blocking, they rank 9th, but the pass blocking has definitely been a problem.
Well, when you say ranking, that's an overall thing. I'm talking about space from Derrick Henry to the first guy that can put a helmet on
Right,
him.
they're saying the way that the run block win rate works is do guys hold their blocks for a certain amount of time? And when you compare them to all the other lines in the league, they finish 9th, which is like a little bit above average. But I mean, it definitely, I mean, Henry has not had the holes, but he's getting better holes than Saquon Barkley is this year.
Well, but the sleight of hand and the RPO and what that did to the hips of seven defenders every time there's a mesh point, and you get Derrick Henry, who might go left, he might go right. Lamar Jackson, who might go left, who might go right, or might tuck it and throw it over your head or underneath of you. And everybody's, I mean, come on, Aaron, you've watched this for 6 or 7 years. It made defenses it made defensive coordinators, it certainly made
Yeah.
non-athletic defenses very, very, very
It doesn't
ripe
help when
and
Jackson's out.
vulnerable, right?
When
Yeah.
Jackson's out, you don't have that fear that Jackson's going to keep the ball. Watching the Thanksgiving game, I watched it over again, and I felt like if Jackson is hurt right now, you didn't see it as much in his running as you did in his throwing mechanics. But I do think that teams are a little less afraid that he's going to run the ball because of the toe injury and the hamstring that he had
Or that he
earlier in the
can't go
game.
80 yards. Yeah, he might get
Yeah.
a first down and he might get hurt doing it.
But it actually looks like it's affecting his throwing mechanics more than it's affecting the running the ball.
Well, and they're also not practicing, right? He's not practicing on Wednesday. He's not getting good practices. And I had Marvin Lewis on the show earlier this week, and Marvin just stopped me and said, "I'm a coach, man. Practice is everything."
Well,
Like literally,
especially
because it gives you
that's
the
like really
confidence
important when it
that
comes
you're
to
out there that you can
communication
do
with
it.
your receivers, right? Like, do we all know that we're running the right routes? Do we all know that we're adjusting correctly for certain defenses, right? What if you think you're going to go left and I think you're going to go right and then I throw it in the wrong place and you got an incomplete pass? So you guys need to practice to get used to each other.
Where are you on trending and stopping this in drafting more lighter players? A lot of the things the Ravens are doing are finding some sort of Kyle Hamilton to come down and be a little bit of a hybrid player. I would say the NFC thing was uncanny, right? For how many years that they're just not prepared for it. They just don't know how to play it. They can't play it. They can't do it for 4 quarters, and they could stop them for 54 plays. It's play 55 through 59 to get you get your ass kicked, and it winds up costing you 35 points because that's how crazy it was week after week after week, year after year with the NFC teams. Different for Cleveland, and they have some game records, and Schwartz has got those guys. But even with Cincinnati and Pittsburgh or Kansas City, Buffalo teams that have seen the Ravens a little bit more, draft a little bit more that way, think a little bit more about that in the offseason, I think the whole league is caught up to thinking that way now, and it's changed the game, right? He's changed the game, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, he does special things. And if you're in the division, you have to prepare against him. And the same with Hamilton is a very special player. And you can see it from when they free up Hamilton to be Hamilton, the defense improves significantly. Like they went out and got Alohi Gilman, and that freed up Hamilton to move around the field, and the defense improved significantly. But I mean, you're talking about the size of players. Things are actually moving towards bigger players, right? Everything in the NFL is cyclical. And we've kind of reached the pinnacle of lighter, faster players. And then people were like, well, we should run the ball more. So now you have things like the Rams using all this 13 personnel with three tight ends and trying to stuff the ball down your throat, or the Bears against Philadelphia last week, stuffing the ball down your throat. And
Or the
so
Bills
everything's
running through the
been.
Steelers as we're on it
Yep.
this week, right? Literally,
Yeah,
right?
although it's interesting, the Bills is less about power because Cook is more of a speed guy. But yeah, running through the Steelers, absolutely.
Well, but the run
And
is
what
they.
happens to the Bills? The Bills have a very light defense, and every team runs on them. The Steelers actually, strangely, didn't have much success, but other teams have run on the Bills plenty.
Well, it, John Harbaugh, even who lies plenty from the podium, but told the truth about it this week, is like the game's designed to run the ball because you can run the ball, you don't need to pass. Like literally, we'll run the ball all day on you, and I guess
If
that.
you can get 5 yards a carry, which is very good, but if you can get 5 yards a carry, then you run on first, you run on second, you don't even have third, and you just move on with your life.
Right, and all day, and get back up and take their will away, literally. I mean, that's what Derrick Henry was designed to do here, specifically in the second half of games where you get ahead is just go and road grate you. And yet, so few teams are good at stopping it, to your point. Like, if you load up and you get
Because
yourself a
teams
Pat
don't.
Ricard, you have a hard time over four downs of stopping that from happening.
In general, passing is more efficient than rushing. And so teams have built to stop the pass because passing is more efficient. And so it's cyclical. Then rushing becomes more efficient than it used to be because defenses are all playing the pass. All those Fangio defenses with the two safeties back. So now you'll see things move more towards the run, and then it'll hit a point where it goes back the other way. Everything has been cyclical in the NFL for 50 years.
Aaron Schatz is here. No one knows the game better. He is the godfather of DVOA. If you don't know what that is, you kids get out on the internet, learn some more football. Luke would say you need to be studied up a little bit more so you know what's going on out there as the Ravens and the Steelers get together again this week. What do you make of the franchises and the teams and as they're put together? One of my themes this week is something very bad is going to happen to the team that doesn't win the division. And from in regard to, I don't think Harbaugh is getting fired if they don't make the
And
playoffs
I
if they
don't
get
think
1-5.
Tomlin's getting
And
fired.
there's a lot of money involved in both of them in a lot of different ways. And Cincinnati, if they beat Buffalo, look out. I mean, I'm just saying they have the best player. They have the best standing player right now in Joe Burrow, based on what I saw last week. Not certainly not the supporting cast, certainly not the defense, but it was good enough. It played well enough last week on five turnovers for the Ravens. They're going to kick it around. And everything about the Ravens, including Vegas and the people that bet on this, and they're a big favorite again, this week. Everything has been like they're going to round in. And in January, you're not going to want to see Lamar and Derrick Henry and Kyle Hamilton and Roquan Smith get off the bus, no matter where your bus is, Bo Nix or Drake May or any of these neophytes, Daniel Jones, whatever it is, that the Ravens could take care of their own if they can win the division. And then it was like, well, they're 1-5. They got to win a lot of games. Well, they got to win all their games. They got to win some of their games. Aaron, they're not very good. They got their ass kicked last week. We're laughing about Pittsburgh and they're a touchdown favorite. And I go figure, right? The quarterback's not right for everything we've talked about. They're not winning at the line of scrimmage. All these things have happened. And then I look over the hill. They got to go play Drake May. They got to go play the Green Bay Packers on the road at Lambeau. They got to go to Pitt. They got to play Pittsburgh twice and Cincinnati. And I'm thinking 3-2, 2-3, 4-1. Like, 9 wins, 10. What's going to get them in, and can Cincinnati come and catch? But I keep thinking to myself, for whomever doesn't make the playoffs, this is going to be problematic. Pittsburgh doesn't have a quarterback if they don't make it. But the Ravens specifically, there was such expectation here. They're just making the playoffs and getting their ass kicked by Kansas City or Buffalo in the first week. That's not going to feel good around here either, because this does not feel like a Super Bowl unit over the
No.
body of work for me.
It's very different. The Ravens are, they were built to win the Super Bowl, and then players declined, things went wrong, injuries happened. Lamar Jackson is clearly not healthy. You have to ask yourself in the offseason which players can rebound and get healthier, which players are on the way down, and who needs to be replaced. The Steelers were built to be average. So it's a very different with the Steelers. I think fans are like, how many years are we going to do this where we build a team to go 9-8? Right? Like, are we when are we going to finally rebuild? When are we going to finally tear this down and build another champion? Whereas with the Ravens, it's more like there's specific things that went wrong this year that we need to fix, but a lot of the talent is still here and we should be able to build it back to the top with a lot of the players we have right now.
But can
So
they
I
do it
think
by January?
no, but I mean it's more like can for you know, A, if we get in, we win the division, that's nice. We probably lose in the playoffs. Let's talk about what happens in the offseason. What does Ronnie Stanley have left? Can we get another cornerback? Things like that. With Pittsburgh, it's like, what is our whole mode of being for the last few years? Like, what are we doing here? It's much more of a sort of big question.
Aaron Schatz is my guest, and one last thing. You went to the New England game, though, that you live in that region, and run me through the Patriot thing as you see it, because we're going to see them soon. We know what Cincinnati is. We got them next week. I found myself drawn to the Patriot game the other night, just in sort of like, what is this? And then the Giants, not very good, and I'll keep an eye out, but I mean, the Patriots and the Packers being on the schedule for the Ravens creates incredible peril for them that even if they get by Pittsburgh that last week, they're still going to have to go to Pittsburgh and win at the end, and that's never good. I mean, this thing really feels like a lot of mud for 5 or 6 weeks, and New England and the Bears and Denver, all these, they're all counting into double digits and smelling themselves and feeling good, but they feel unproven to me. But this feels like the time of the year where I take note. I mean, I wouldn't pay any attention to the Patriots or the Bears 5 weeks ago. Now, all of a sudden, it's like they're going to get in one seed and a bye. You better start paying attention to them because you have to go through there.
The Patriots are 11-2. Can you guess how many teams the Patriots have played that currently rank higher than them in my numbers?
I have no idea.
One. The Bills. That's
Okay.
it.
Why
And
the
do you know how
Bills?
many teams they have remaining on their schedule that are higher than them in my numbers? One.
The
The
Bills.
Bills. That's it. The Ravens are a little bit below them.
Well, the Bills can't catch them. That's the
I
difference,
thought
right?
for a while that the Ravens were going to be the game that like showed that the Patriots were not as good as people think, but now I don't think that because the Ravens are having these problems. So I think that game is very 50-50. But I don't think the Patriots are a ton better than the Ravens. They have played a remarkably easy schedule. Not May. May has been fabulous. That defense has played the easiest schedule of opposing quarterbacks in the league. And so that pass defense in particular is not as good as it looks. May is. He is absolutely an MVP candidate. But the Patriots defense is not as good as it looks. And it's weird for me to say that because I'm in the press box at Gillette with all these Patriots reporters going, well, hey, we're not, it's not the best team in the league, despite having the best win-loss record in the league, but they're not. They've played a very easy schedule, especially for the defense.
Well, I think that's what's made the year fun is like last week, Luke was all
Oh, it's
ramsed up.
tons of fun.
I mean, he was all ramsed up last week, and then they get their ass kicked. And then now everybody's bearsed up this week, right? The Bears and the Patriots. And it's like, there's always an egg to be laid here in December for somebody
And the
somewhere.
Bears have played the second easiest schedule in the league, by the way.
Well, but the Ravens have put themselves in a position to not have turds in the same way the Kansas City's put themselves there. I guess Buffalo's just going to be a wild card, and it's just going to be what it's going to be, for them at this point. But I mean, for the Ravens, for the Steelers, for Kansas City, for, I mean, just dogfights for a lot of these franchises that you just penciled in because Indianapolis and the Chargers and the Jaguars, the other teams are sitting in these seats right now. And it's weird. I mean, this time last year was Josh Allen, Lamar, MVP, Mahomes was going to win the Super Bowl. And now it's like all three of them could be sitting on the outside watching
A
this from the outside.
lot of it is good teams beating each other up. Kansas City has had a tough schedule. Houston has had a tough schedule. Philadelphia has had a tough schedule. Whereas the Patriots have had an easy schedule. The Bears have had an easy schedule. The Panthers are just crazy. The Panthers are ridiculous. If you look at their week-to-week performance, the way it pings back and forth between good games and bad games is kind of insane. I mean, they lost to New Orleans for crying out loud, and then they beat the Rams. So that team makes no sense whatsoever. It's been a very strange year. I mean, it really does. I mean, my numbers really like Seattle and the Rams, that whoever comes out of the NFC West, number one, is the favorite for the Super Bowl. But overall, I think Vegas is right that this is very much a year where any team could win it.
You know what's crazy for me is I have this long relationship with Jim Schwartz, like you do, and Jim Schwartz introduced me to you and in the Hoosier Dome many years ago, 20 years ago, when he was still with, I think, with the Titans at the time, DC at the Titans, and he said, "Hey, this guy knows a lot about football. He's like into this stats thing, this analytics thing before Moneyball, before any of that happened," and that defense and the Ravens haven't seen them, and Myles Garrett. I literally was sitting Because this is what a nerd like me does. Sit around in bed in the middle of the night, and some people count sheep, and I count MVPs. I'm kidding. But last year was Lamar and Josh Allen. And, Luke's like, well, I guess Stafford will be the MVP's quarterback or whatever. And I see, Matt Ryan, all these guys praising him. That's great. And we'll see how they turn out. And I'm thinking to myself, Myles Garrett's the best player in the league, and what he's doing is otherworldly, but how freaking valuable can he be when a team's going to win two games, right?
I'm going to
So
tell you that.
it's
That's
crazy, right?
Miles. Yeah, that's why you can't have a defensive player as MVP. You could not have a defensive player playing better than Miles Garrett is right now. And that team has 3 wins. And last year, Garrett was almost as good as he is this year. And their defense wasn't even good because the other 10 players had problems. So, like, you just, they're just. A single quarterback is just so much more valuable than a single defensive player, even though Garrett is freaking like, what do they have, 19 sacks? It's absurd.
Compare him to something in that way or what he does. I mean, what will the comparison, I guess Reggie, well, I don't know. You tell me,
Yeah,
but
Reggie White, Lawrence Taylor. I mean, Lawrence Taylor is a little different because he was a linebacker, so sometimes he would drop into coverage a little bit. Back in the day, in the 80s, outside linebackers and defensive ends were not interchangeable the way they are now,
right.
right? We have the term edge rusher now to indicate that players go back and forth between those two positions depending on the scheme of the team. In the 80s, it wasn't like that. There really was a
Marvin
difference
Lewis
between
would laugh because I
Lawrence
had him on
Taylor.
earlier because he had McCrary and Boulware, and there was a whole
Yeah.
thing about putting your hand in the dirt, right? Put your hand,
Yeah.
you put your hand in the dirt, linebackers put their hands on their hips, right?
Yeah,
Like,
even when Lewis was a DC, there was more of a difference between an outside linebacker and a defensive end than there is today. But,
although
like,
he was a
yeah,
part of
Reggie
that, and
White.
Dungy and those guys were all part, and Kiffin's old man, all a part of changing that, right? Like, as far as what that position, and by the time Suggs came along, it was a thing, right?
Yes,
Dinosaur.
Suggs is kind of a back and forthy, more of a back and forth, go back and forth between the two, edge rusher prototype of like today's edge rusher. Who can play either pretty well. But yeah, I mean, Garrett is so outstanding, so fantastic. Without you double him all the time, without help, he's just incredible. So yeah, Reggie White is a great comparison.
All right,
Reggie
yeah.
White, Reggie White in 1987 had something like 20 sacks in 12 games. He didn't play in the scab games, so he only had 12 games. That's like the best sack season ever.
I had season tickets, section 721, right there, for, row one at the vet, right behind home plate. It was corner of the end zone, but I was a season ticket owner. We lost the Colts. We lost the Colts.
Right, that was
But
between teams.
yeah,
Yep.
my buddy Russ Letcher got tickets. He became an Eagles. He's still got his Eagles starter jacket from 1986. He looks like Randall Cunningham, a little bit like Baldy, quite frankly.
People basically probably had to pick between the Eagles and the Redskins, right? Y'all were halfway in between, so you had to pick one or the other.
Tom Clancy, who later bought into the Orioles, once famously said, and he had a little bit of a Baltimore accent. He said, "I'd rather sell my children to the gypsies than root for the Redskins."
Well, that works.
So yeah, so that was it. Aaron
So
Schatz is here. I
Eagles it is.
give you a little history here as well. So last thing for I've made this case, and this isn't my man crush on Joe Burrow or any disparaging of Lamar or Patrick Mahomes or anybody else. But if you gave me a pick to pick a football player in the league to start my team with right this minute for the next 3, 4, 5 years, it would be Joe Burrow, despite the injuries, despite all of that. I think he's the best player, and he's the guy I would, in the same way that somebody would make a Marino case and not Elway, or make a case for any, I would have taken Elway. I'll take Elway, you take whoever you want. Lawrence Taylor takes whoever you want. I'll just take my chances with that guy. I feel that way about Burrow, and maybe it's because he got the Bengals to a Super Bowl. Maybe it's because he's hurt all the time. Maybe it's because we're in the division. But I just think he's better than, and Mahomes too. Mahomes is more creative. I mean, Lamar's more athletic, all that. But for me, it's Burrow. Who's yours?
First of all, if I had to pick any player to start a franchise right now, it would easily be Drake May.
Okay.
Because Drake May is that good and he's young, so he might get better. Whereas I think Burrow has reached, this is the peak of how
Okay.
good Burrow can be. And same with Mahomes and same with Lamar
As
Jackson and
good
same
as
with Josh
Burrow's going to
Allen.
be, he could be Aaron Rodgers good for the next 10 years because he's that good.
Going into the season, the way I said it is, I thought Joe Burrow was very clearly the fourth best player that I couldn't tell you what the order was between Allen, Jackson, and Mahomes, but I thought Burrow was a step behind them. And I still kind of do think Burrow is a little bit behind those three guys when Jackson is fully healthy. And I know Allen's having a little bit of an off season, but I would put Burrow and May a little bit behind those three guys right now, with the difference being May might get better than this because he's so young.
Listen, and when I say this stuff, people here lose their minds about Lamar because Lamar's approaching 30 now. He ain't young anymore. He's not going to get better in regard to being a running threat.
No. What
And so
happens is,
that part of his game is going to be either taken away or has been taken away or will be taken away. In it's just not going to look
he'll
in the
continue to get
way that you're going to be
smarter.
writing deep. Okay, I mean, I'll
But his
hear that.
athleticism, he's going to lose his athleticism. That's how it works.
And I don't think he'll ever be as good at throwing the football as Joe Burrow, in
He's
my
a great
opinion.
pocket quarterback, though. Even when Lamar Jackson is stuck in the pocket, he is great.
And maybe the real argument between you and I, Aaron, is like the supporting cast, because with Joe Burrow, I mean, I see Orlando Brown around there still blocking at left tackle. He's not even a left tackle, but like, so for me, the supporting cast, Burrow smells a lot better when Chase and Higgins are out on the field, right? I mean, like Joe Flacco smelled great, you know, with those guys out there. And the same thing is true for Lamar. I think it's unfair to even judge Lamar on this year to some degree based on the offensive line and everything else has sort of collapsed around them, including the defense the first 6 weeks of the year.
Especially because of the fact that he's been hurt in two different places. I do not walk away from this year thinking Lamar Jackson is worse than I thought he was before. I think he can definitely rebound next year to be close to what he was last year if he's healthy. And Allen probably can be better than this. And Mahomes has been great. I still think those are the three best guys, Mahomes, Allen, and Jackson. And I wouldn't put them in any order. They're the three best guys.
If Lamar is going to run less into the future, he is less valuable
Yes,
in that way.
absolutely.
In that way.
And look,
So,
it
and less
happened to Mahomes,
effective
it
in
happened
that way.
to McNair, and it happened to Steve Young, and it happened to even Flutie a little bit.
Cam
Like,
Newton, right? I
yeah,
mean,
the fact is you get into your 30s, you're not as athletic. It's just life.
Cam Newton's wearing a funny hat on TV, and Flacco's out throwing the ball, you know,
He
and Aaron
wears
Rodgers is going
very funny hats. I
to,
am blown away by the way Cam Newton dresses.
He is a you know, an iconoclast. I'll just use that
Yeah.
word. That's good. Aaron Schatz is an iconoclast too. He's the godfather of DVOA. Tell everybody how to find you, set up, help you pay your bills, keep you doing the science of football on the highest level that you do it.
Most of my stuff is at FTNFantasy.com. And if you have a subscription to the FTN Stats Hub, not only do you get all of our award-winning fantasy projections and betting advice, but you get all of the DVOA stats, and we do charting. So you can see things like who's best against man compared to zone, or who's best against one high compared to two high. You also find me at ESPN and you find me on social media. I'm on Twitter, X at A Schatz NFL, and I'm on Blue Sky at AaronSchatz.com.
My man, Aaron Schatz, no one does it better than he does it. And I would say I'll check back in with you at some time between now and Santa Clara. You know, when the times get troubled, you're like my Simon and Garfunkel. You'll be the bridge over troubled water.
The way I'll finish it is the Ravens, we do have the Ravens favored to win the division, but not by much. They win it about 50% of the time in our sims, with the Steelers at 44 and the Bengals at 6.
Gonna win it by the skin of the pig is what we'll
Yeah.
say at this point. Aaron Schatz, go find him out on the interwebs. Nobody does it better. And Luke remains your biggest apostle and acolyte. And I always appreciate you picking up the phone and joining us and really helping educate me and trying to clarify things as we try to get better at football. So we try to do around and try to learn football a little bit. We also try to eat crab cakes. It is the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. Six tour stops this month, including the Raven scratch offs. I'm also gonna have the candy cane scented tickets because I want my whole place to smell like the holidays, as long as they smell like juniper. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and we never stop talking Baltimore positive.